Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. This is chapter 23 in the book of Exodus. Let's ask the Lord to bless chapter 23 into our spirits, into our entire being. Father, our Lord and our God, Lord, bless chapter 23 into our spirits. We know that we could learn the whole Bible, but that wouldn't mean anything if we didn't worship you, because that's what the entire Bible boils down to, is that you just want to be worshipped. You just want to be adored. And Lord, if we forget worship, worshiping you, to serve you, and the different gifts that you want, especially you want us, all of us, then Lord, we haven't got you. So we need to worship you with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength, to pray to you, to praise you, to be ready for, so that we can be ready for whatever comes in our lives, whatever comes or whatever goes. Lord God, bless this chapter into us. Give us the power to stand another day, to walk in your spirit, not after the flesh anymore, but to be worshiping you, thinking about you all day long, to be worshiping you all day long. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, chapter 23. Let's do it.
Exodus chapter 23, King James Version, verse 1. Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness.
No, that would not be worshiping the Lord. That would be worshiping the devil. Then what if you bring false reports on people, if you're a liar? And you don't care whether people think you're of the Lord, and you want them to know you're of the devil. That's what you are when you give false reports on people, or when you lie to them. Okay, then what?
Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil.
Right, just because the whole world is worshiping after the beast, you're not to follow them, you're to worship the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And to follow him. All right, then what?
Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment.
You're not supposed to wrestle with God's judgment. You're supposed to know what his judgments are and keep them, for that is worshiping the Lord. Then what?
Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause.
No, you're not to take favorites just because somebody's poor. To stand up for them, whether they're poor or rich, then what?
If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again.
So you have an enemy, somebody that you hate, you overcome evil by doing good. If you see it astray, you take it back to him and let him know that you're not his enemy. Okay, well, let's go into the interpretation.
Okay. Translation, verses 1 through 4. A call for justice. Do not pass along false reports. Do not cooperate with evil people by telling lies on the witness stand. Do not join a crowd that intends to do evil. When you are on the witness stand, do not be swayed in your testimony by the opinion of the majority. And do not slant your testimony in favor of a person just because that person is poor. If you come upon your enemy's ox or donkey that has strayed away, take it back to its owner. King James Version, verse 5. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him.
Right, you should see even an animal that's overloaded. You're to say, I have an animal here that's not so loaded. Can I take some of the load off of your animal so that he won't be so overloaded? Read the translation.
Okay. If you see the donkey of someone who hates you struggling beneath a heavy load, do not walk by. Instead, stop and offer to help. King James Version, verse 6. Thou shalt not rest the judgment of thy poor in his cause. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked.
No.
And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise, and perverteth the words of the righteous. Also thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. And 6 years thou shalt sow thy land, and shalt gather in the fruits thereof. But the 7th year thou shalt let it rest, and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard.
In other words, every year, even if you don't plant anything, the seeds from the things that you harvested on the 6th year is going to cause other produce to come up. And so you're not to take any of it. You're to leave it for poor people. And what they don't take, you're to feed it, let the animals eat it. Okay, that's what that means. Okay, go ahead, try the translation.
Translation verses 6 through 11. Do not twist justice against people simply because they are poor. Keep far away from falsely charging anyone with evil. Never put an innocent or honorable, honest person to death. I will not allow anyone guilty of this to go free. Take no bribes, for a bribe makes you ignore something that you clearly see. A bribe always hurts the cause of the person who is in the right. Do not oppress the foreigners living among you. You know what it is like to be a foreigner. Remember your own experience in the land of Egypt. Plant and harvest your crops for 6 years. But let the land rest and be fallow during the 7th year. Then let the poor among you harvest any volunteer crops that may come up. Leave the rest for the animals to eat. The same applies to your vineyards and olive groves. King James Version, verse 12. 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the 7th day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. 3 times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year.
Because I want you to worship me. That's all I really want you to do, is worship me. If you're worshiping me, you will not sin, because not sinning is worshiping me, and you will not do these things that I tell you not to do here. And that's the whole thing, is like I want you on the Sabbath to worship me and to thank me for all the different things that I've given you. I want you to have a thankful heart. And there are 3 feasts that he's mentioning here that he wants you to worship him with, okay? And one of them is the day of Pentecost, which is the future day of Pentecost. And then the day of salvation, the harvest, and so on. Okay, go ahead.
Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee.
That's the Passover, the day of deliverance, the day you got saved. Then what?
In the time appointed of the month Abib, for in it thou camest out from Egypt.
Right, I saved you. I delivered you. Okay, then what?
And none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field, 3 times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread. neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning.
In other words, we're the sacrifice now, and leaven is sin, and so I don't want you as a sacrifice if there's sin in you. So don't sin. If you sin, you're not a sacrifice. You're not saved. Simple, isn't it? Okay? Translation.
Translation verses 12 through 18. Work for 6 days and rest on the seventh. This will give your ox and your donkey a chance to rest. It will also allow the people of your household, including your slaves and visitors, to be refreshed. Be sure to obey all my instructions, and remember, never pray or swear by any other gods.
No, because I'm the only God. And there's no person that is to be your God, no place or no thing to be your God. I am God. Worship me only. Pray to me only. Period. Then what?
Do not even mention their names.
I don't even mention any other God's names because I'm the only God there is. So you may think God is the egomaniac. Well, he has a right to have an ego. I don't even call that an ego. He made you out of the dirt of the ground and everything else in the whole universe. And so he doesn't want you to be stupid and worship anybody else or anything else but him. He wants you to keep your mind on him, because that's worshiping the Lord. He says, pray always, pray without ceasing. Amen?
Amen?
You may not like a God like that, and if you don't, he doesn't like you either. The only problem is you don't have any retaliation against him, but he can retaliate against you. He can throw you right in the pit of hell and keep you there forever. Just lock you right up, in case you think he's a chump. Okay, then what else? No, you're the chump. Then what?
3 annual feasts. Each year you must celebrate 3 festivals in my honor.
In my honor. Who does he think he is that he should have honor? What have you ever made in your life that wasn't here before? That any substance that is here in this world, including atoms, molecules, protons, and neutrons, God made them. Amen?
Amen.
And so you have to honor this great and mighty God. Where you get your breath is from him. Where you get your food and water is from him. Honor him and nothing else. No one else, with the exception of who he tells you to honor. He says you to fear those that have the rule over you that he has placed over you. Not anyone that he has not placed over you. You're not to honor them. Period. Okay, then what?
The first is the festival of unleavened bread. For 7 days you are to eat bread, and without yeast, just as I commanded you before. This festival will be an annual event at the appointed time in early spring, for that is the anniversary of your exodus from Egypt.
Right. I delivered you. I sacrificed for you. And my time in trouble, and I'm going to sacrifice my life for you and raise again from the dead. And if you're going to be a sacrifice unto me, to so you don't break the deal, we have a deal, we're going to split a deal here, cut a deal, well then I don't want you to be a sacrifice that has sin in you. If you do, you're lost. Now I know you're stupid, but what a rude awakening it's going to be when you think you're saved and you wake up and you're in hell and in the lake of fire. So you have to really take this serious if you want to go to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Everyone must bring me a sacrifice at that time. You must also celebrate the festival of harvest.
Well, he says, come unto me. That's an order. That's a command. And when we come unto the Lord, then he puts us in charge. That's another thing the Lord wants us to be here on this earth. He gave full charge of this earth to Adam, and Adam gave charge. He started listening to Satan, and so Satan took the charge away from Adam. And so now God wants to see how bold we are. Will you or will you not take the charge I gave man away from Satan? Now, you can do that because I'll help you just like I told Adam that I would. Now, don't believe anybody else but me. He says, now I call you, come to me, and you better come to me. I'm God. And if you don't come to me, that means you're not going to worship me. Now take charge. That means do what I tell you. He called Moses. He said, take charge. Here's what I want you to tell the people. Here's what I want you to tell Pharaoh. Take charge. Quote, take charge. Unquote. Be obedient to me. And that's what he tells us to do as well. That's what he's told every prophet to do. Do exactly what I say. And the Bible says that Moses did everything in great detail as to what the Lord told him. He took charge. Okay, then what?
Verse 16. You must also celebrate the festival of harvest.
You must? Who is this God that says we must do this and we must do that? And who are you to ignore what he says? That you mustn't, that you're not going to, you're just letting it go in one of your heads and out the other. Because you are a freak, of like a two-headed freak, if you let it go in one of your heads and out the other. Amen?
Amen.
Because a person that doesn't sort of do what the Lord says and just let it stay in one head, well, you're going to wind up in hell anyway, and that's a very bad thing. Very worse than freaky, because people in hell, people have seen visions of them, and their faces are about 3 to 4 or 5 feet long. They're like wax, and they're like melting and screaming and extremely ugly. And you ladies, there's no makeup down there to try to put yourself together or to make yourself look human. All right, then what?
You must also celebrate the festival of harvest when you bring me the first crops of your harvest.
I want first. Don't give me your hand-me-downs, you people that tithe and give offerings to me. I want the best of everything you got. I want your firstborn. I want your firstborn son, and I want your firstborn cattle. Okay, then go ahead.
Finally, you are to celebrate the festival of the final harvest at the end of the harvest season. At these three times each year, every man in Israel must appear before the sovereign Lord.
Before me. Because why? To worship me. That's the whole duty of man, is to fear God and keep his commandments. Fearing God and keeping his commandments is, bottom line, worshiping him. All right?
Yes.
God didn't call us to do anything else but to worship him. If you worship him, you won't do anything wrong. But people think that they're their own person, their own boss. He says, know you not that you're the temple of God and you don't belong to yourself? God's living in you and he wants to rule you. Because it's his body now, not yours. You don't like the idea of that? You don't think that's possible? You're not saved then. And you're going to have to pay the consequences unless you get saved in the near future. Then what?
Sacrificial blood must never be offered together with bread that has yeast in it.
No, don't sacrifice yourself to me if you're sin on your soul. If you're going to sin, continue sinning. Because I don't like sin. I hate it. I had to come into this world and die because of sin. And don't sin, because I'm going to hate you if you, your soul. I won't be able to take you into heaven with me. Then what?
And no sacrificial fat may be left unoffered until the next morning. King James Version, verse 19.
Right, because the fat is the Lord's. You're not to drink blood or eat fat. Well, people say, but I like fat. Well, they eat fat and they've got heart disease now, and the Lord allows them to die. Okay? Butter's fat, amen. Grease, you like grease? Lord says, no, no, okay? And you want to worship him? then take care of his body. It's you are not your own. Then what?
The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared.
An angel is like a cherub. In the Hebrew it's kereb. There were two of them at the tomb of Jesus, two kereb. And in the Old Testament there are many of them that are mentioned. It's mentioned 30 times in the book of Ezekiel alone, but mentioned in Genesis, Exodus, all throughout the Bible. First and Second Chronicles, First and Second Samuel, and so on. Many of them. These are covering angels, is the kereb, or cherub. The devil at one time was a kereb, a covering angel. I would say at least 60 times in the Old Testament that the cherub or kereb is mentioned. Spells with a K. Okay, then what else? And this is the way Hebrew sounds, is kereb and tutarba, arudaba. That's Hebrew talk. It's like even more rough than German, I think. Okay? It's very masculine language. Okay, then what?
Beware of him and obey his voice.
Yes, because he's God. He's to be worshipped. He's to be obeyed. Obeying is the same as worshipping. Then what?
Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions.
Yeah, don't get him angry, because if you do, you're not going to be pardoned. And where do people that are not pardoned go? Into the pit. Into the flame. Then what?
Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries.
Yeah, I'll be against every enemy you have, if you do what I tell you. But not, I'll be your enemy, and you can't get away from me. You might be able to get away a little bit from the devil, but not if God turns him loose on you. And where are you going to run and hide when the Lord is after you? You can't get away from him. All right, then what?
For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off.
See, the Lord has gives you an escort of heavenly cherubs, to go before you and fight for you, and to run interference will be your escort. Okay, go into the translation now.
Translation verses 19-23. As you harvest each of your crops, bring me a choice sample of the first day's harvest. It must be offered to the Lord your God. You must not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. The promise of the Lord's presence. See, I am sending my angel before you to lead you safely to the land I have prepared for you. Pay attention to him and obey all of his instructions. Do not rebel against him, for he will not forgive your sins. He is my representative. He bears my name. But if you are careful to obey him, following all my instructions, then I will be an enemy to your enemies, and I will oppose those who oppose you. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, Hittites.
My covering angel will cover you, will keep you covered. Amen?
Amen.
My cherub, the covering angel. will go before you, will escort you, and keep you covered, keep you protected. Otherwise, you're going to be up a blind alley, and there's no escape. And you will not say you're God or some chosen vessel when someone is sticking a sword through your gizzard or hacking your head off. Then what?
For my angel will go before you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, and Jebusites, so you may live there, and I will destroy them.
He's talking about destroying all the Africans that lived in that area. Now, the land of Ham, or Canaan land, was all Africa, because they were really perverted. Then what else?
King James Version, verse 24.
But the Lord said the same thing about the Jews. He said, if you start doing the same thing that these Africans do, like free sex, wife swapping, having sex with animals, keep committing adultery, fornication, lying, stealing, not paying it, worshiping all kinds of other gods, coveting, and so on. He says, I want to destroy you too. I don't have to send a bunch of people in there to do it. I'll destroy you like I did the giants with a bunch of hornets, or I'll destroy you with frogs, or I'll turn the water into blood, or I'll send a bunch of locusts in to destroy all your food so you starve to death, or I might just open the earth and swallow a bunch of you up and right down into hell. There's all, he knows a million, millions of different ways to destroy people. You have to read the Bible. It's very diverse in his abilities. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 24. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee.
So I'll even take sickness away from you. So, you know, if you serve me, then I'll bless you every way there is.
There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come.
I'll make everybody afraid of you, then what?
And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. Translation, verses 24 through 27. Do not worship the gods of these other nations, or serve them in any way.
No, because they didn't do anything for you. I'm God. I'm the one that gives you breath and food and water and protection and healing. Okay, so don't give anything to anybody else but me. I'm God. Then what?
And never follow their evil example. Instead, you must utterly conquer them and break down their shameful idols.
Right, because they have gods of sex, gods of lesbianism, gods of adultery, fornication, every kind of perversion there was. These were gods. A god of wars, and so on and so forth. And female gods like Diana and all this garbage. All right, then what?
You must serve only the Lord your God.
Only him, and none other. Then what?
If you do, I will bless you with food and water, and I will keep you healthy. There will be no miscarriages or infertility among your people, and I will give you long, full lives. I will send my terror upon all the people whose land you invade, and they will panic before you. King James Version, verse 28. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee.
See, so he has armies of locusts and hornets, everything. He can call all of nature together against people. He can call every kind of disease and billions of diseases that no one has ever heard of. What is happening to me? I don't know what's going on with me. I'm so sick and I feel my life ebbing out of my body. What kind of, well, the doctors can't figure it out, then they die. I've heard that so many times in my life, it's unbelievable. And there's nothing that can stop it but to begin worshiping the Lord. And then he heals them, and then they start going astray again, and so he takes their life. We had a person like that in the church that was a peeping Tom up on the ridge. He's a young black boy. And he used to like to peep in other people's windows, especially if they had daughters. And he got leukemia. And so we told him, look, if you'd stop doing that, maybe the Lord will heal you. He said, I promise I won't do it anymore. The Lord healed him. Then all of a sudden I got a report that he was peeping the same thing again. And what happened? 13 years old, we preached his funeral. I preached his funeral. I think either Sue or myself preached his funeral. Another married couple, they wouldn't serve the Lord. They just haughty. They had this beautiful young little boy who was about 3 to 5 years old. And they didn't listen to him. We told him, don't leave children in cars, automobiles. And so they left him in there. They were going to take him because he had a fever. And the temperature in the car went up to 110 or something like that, and the poor boy died because of stupid people that don't follow instructions. Okay, go ahead.
I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee.
Yeah, he said, I'm not going to send all these different people. I'm not going to kill them all or send them out of there all at once, because you won't be able to handle all the different beasts, wild beasts. I'm going to leave some of those people in there until you populate enough to where you can kill all the wild beasts that are necessary to kill to protect your flocks and yourselves. He said, but I'll just drive them out year by year, more and more. Okay, then what?
By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. Translation, verses 28 through 30. I will send hornets ahead of you to drive out the Hivites, Canaanites, and Hittites, but I will not do this all in 1 year, because the land will become a wilderness, and the wild animals will become too many to control. I will drive them out a little at a time, until your population has increased enough to fill the land.
Right, the weed problem would be so bad you wouldn't be able to keep it under control. Your people would be busy hoeing weeds all day long, and they didn't have pest control back, these weed controls back there, like they do today. And then what else?
King James Version, verse 31. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee.
Right, because you die, I'll kill you, God says. All right, then what?
Translation, verses 31 through 33. And I will fix your boundaries from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea, and from the southern desert to the Euphrates River. I will help you defeat the people now living in the land, and you will drive them out ahead of you.
Because the Lord doesn't like reprobates. He doesn't like perverts. So if you want to be perverted, just say, chalk it up, I'm going to hell. Just as simple as that. Was God the same yesterday, today, and forever? Yes, he is. Okay, then what?
Make no treaties with them, and have nothing to do with their gods. Do not even let them live among you! If you do, they will infect you with their sin of idol worship, and that would be disastrous for you.
Yeah, because I'm God. I made everything in the universe. And if you're going to be partaker of worshiping some other god, you're not worth living. And you certainly will not enter heaven. Okay, then what? Let's have some... That was the last verse in the chapter. And so now we'll do some commentary.
23 verse 4, quote, "If you come upon your enemy's ox or donkey that has strayed away, take it back to its owner," unquote. An enemy was one with whom one was having a dispute before the law. That's what an enemy was, one that disputes before the law.
Or somebody that just doesn't like you, period. Okay, then what else?
23 verse 14 through 17. Feasting was time of resting from common pasts and dwelling on God's mercy and grace. Of course, when I say grace, I'm talking about the power of God. 23 verse 15.
You can read that.
Quote, quote, "The first is the festival of unleavened bread. For 7 days you are to eat bread and without yeast, just as I commanded you before. This festival will be an annual event at the appointed time in early spring, for that is the anniversary of your exodus from Egypt. Everyone must bring me a sacrifice at that time," unquote. You can refer to the tapes on chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, and verses 14 through 20.
Or you can look in your Bibles. And what else?
23, verse 16. Quote, "You must also celebrate the festival of harvest when you bring me the first crops of your harvest. Finally, you are to celebrate the festival of the final harvest at the end of the harvest season," unquote. The Feast of Harvest is also called the Feast of Weeks, Numbers 28, verse 26 through 31.
Okay, no, just let them read it.
The Feast of Harvest is also called the Feast of Weeks or the Day of Pentecost, Acts 2:1.
Right. Do they know that?
Okay.
They just read that. Then the next.
"It was observed in the third month, May to June, 50 days after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and commemorated the early harvest. The Feast of Ingathering, also known as the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths, was an autumn feast from September to October, to celebrate the completed harvest. Following Israel's wilderness experience, it was a commemoration of their wandering and included living in small temporary booths or tents in honor of Israel's life in temporary shelters in the wilderness. This I saw them doing while I was in Israel."
Right, I saw sheets draped over clotheslines, and there you could see a light that's inside of there, and people were inside. And there was tents also. Then what?
"They had blankets draped over clotheslines and tents outside. At nighttime, you could see the lights in them." 23, verse 19.
Quote, okay, just go ahead and explain it.
"The first of the first fruits meant the best and the first of the produce of Israel's labors. Boil a young goat in the mother's milk." Check Deuteronomy 14, verse 21.
Okay, do that.
Quote, "Ye shall not eat of anything that dieth of itself. Thou shalt give it unto the stranger that is in thy gates."
Thou shalt not give it to the Gentiles. But the Jew, who is the head, and the Gentiles, who are the tail, they can eat things that are torn or that die of themselves. But the Jew, God's people, are not to do that. Okay, then what?
"Thou shalt give it unto the stranger that is in thy gates, that he may eat it, or thou mayest sell it unto an alien."
Yeah, there's Israel, and then there's the nations. You can give it to any people of the nations called Gentiles. Okay, aliens. Now, some Gentiles look at you with narrow eyes. "I don't like that." Too bad. That's the way it was, okay? And the Lord, Jesus Christ, actually called one of the Gentile women. He said that they wanted, she wanted her daughter to be healed. And he says, you know, it's not good to give the meat to the dogs. Amen?
Amen.
And especially a Gentile that won't serve the Lord and won't give their heart to Him, they're real dogs. They're worse than dogs. They're mutts. You know? Flea bag mutts. Okay, then what?
For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God.
Yeah. So don't eat, you know, He tells you what to eat and what not to eat. No roadkills, kids. All right? Okay, then what?
Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. Unquote.
Yeah, here you're taking the milk from the mother, and then you take the baby of the mother and boil it into the milk. That's like double jeopardy. Okay, then what?
23, verse 25. You can refer to the previous taped explanation on chapter 15, verse 26.
Okay, or you can read your Bible. Then what?
23, verse 31 through 33.
No, just go ahead and explain it.
The Israelites were told to avoid all influences that would cause them to leave the worship of the true God and holy living.
Right, because what good is worshiping if you're not worshiping the true God? And what good is it to worship or take your time to go to church if you're not serving the Lord, because you're still cursed? You're cursed. No way you can get around it in the Word of God. Then what?
23, verse 31.
What does it say?
These ideal boundaries of Israel were only briefly realized under David and Solomon.
Right, that's where he's talking about, from the sea and so on and so forth to the Euphrates and... All right, then what?
23, verse 1 through 8. This section is basically an expansion of chapter 20, verse 16, which prohibits false testimony. The truth will eventually be revealed. See 1 Timothy 5, 24 through 25.
Okay, you can do that.
Okay. Quote, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also, the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Unquote.
No, because everything is naked and open before the Lord. There's no secret place. All right, then what?
So honesty is not only the right policy, but also the smart one, the best one. Even if someone seems to be getting away with lies for a time, in the long run, in the end, that person will be held accountable and must still answer to God. Exodus 23:7.
Okay. Can you read that?
Okay. Quote, keep far away from falsely charging anyone with evil. Never put an innocent or honorable, honest person to death. I will not allow anyone guilty of this to go free. Unquote. 23, verse 10 through 19. God gave instructions concerning Sabbath regulations. See chapter 20, verse 8 through 11.
Yeah, read that in your Bibles, not you.
And annual festivals for several reasons. First, these events were a time for worship, faith, and renewed commitment to God. Second, they were object lessons that pictures important spiritual truths of God's people. Third, they were times for rest. They protected God's people from overworking and imbalance. These events were designed to encourage the people's health, spirituality, emotionally, and physically. We also need regular times of worship, reflection, and rest. 23, verse 32 through 33.
Yeah, just bypass that. They can read that in their Bible.
The temptations of life within the promised land serve as a vivid illustration of how proper standards and boundaries can be tragically forgotten. The Israelites were warned about their tendency to make a good, clean start and then compromise their values and goals. They were warned not to make treaties with the people of the land. They were to push them right out, replacing them with communities of their own. In recovery, or in getting mature, it is easy to make a good start and then compromise, allowing certain, quote, little, unquote, practices to go on unchecked. In the end, these things will cause disaster, eroding the new life we have started to build. The little foxes spoil the grapes. Making Restitution. Bible Reading, Exodus 22, verse 10 through 15.
Dale can just read that.
If we made lists of all persons we had harmed, many people do that, and became willing to make amends to them all so that we can have holy communion. Dysfunctional family systems tend to affect people in a number of different ways. Some of us come to see ourselves as irresponsible and continually condemn ourselves. Others of us tend to admit that we are irresponsible, but excuse ourselves because of all the things that we have suffered during our lifetime and are presently suffering. Still others of us may not even notice our irresponsible behaviors, but we have recurrent problems with other people because we fail to respect their properties. The Bible clearly states, quote, if someone borrows an animal from a neighbor, or it is injured or killed, and if the owner was not there at the time, the person who borrowed it must pay for it, unquote. Exodus 22:14. David once wrote, quote, the wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly are generous givers, unquote. Psalm 37:21.
Because they know that God will give them the money right back. Then what?
The Bible tells us that it's important to take responsibility for the things we borrow. We may feel that we are being condemned as chronically evil if we have had a problem with irresponsibility. The word translated, quote, the wicked, unquote, really means one who is morally wrong, or a person who acts badly. God sees irresponsible behavior as bad action that can be corrected. He doesn't see us as hopelessly bad if he sees us repenting. So he doesn't think of us as something that we've been through either. It doesn't matter. Regardless of what we have been through, we are still held responsible to respect the property of others. We need to consider those we have harmed by being negligent or irresponsible with the use of their property. This sort of thing is written up in Leviticus 4:1-28.
You people read it. We cannot on this tape. It would take too long. Then what?
This talks of unintentional sin that we are still responsible for. If we made lists of all persons that we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. As we have allowed our life to go out of control, we have probably hurt people without even realizing it. In fact, much of the pain we have caused has most likely been unintentional. And a lot of the cursings that's on us is you've done things so unconsciously that you don't realize that that's where it's coming from. So you have to find out what the unintentional things that you've done that are really wrong. Nevertheless, we still need to take responsibility for these things, for our actions, by making amends. When God gave the commandments, He included instructions for handling mistakes or unintentional evil that we do, as well as intentional sins. He said, quote, give the Israelites the following instructions for dealing with those who sin unintentionally by doing anything forbidden by the Lord. That is, unintentional sins. But anything that we do intentionally, you're in grave danger with this, because God is not going to wink at that. If any of the citizens of Israel, the body of Christ, will be guilty, even if they sin unintentionally, when they become aware of their sin, they must bring as their offering in the Old Testament a female goat with no physical defects. It will be offered for their sin. Leviticus 4:2, 27-28. But suppose some of you unintentionally failed to carry out all these commands that the Lord had given you because you are not reading and praying, and you're not staying close to the commandments to know what to do and what not to do. If the sin or mistake was done unintentionally, and the community was unaware of it, the whole community must present a young bull, that's Old Testament, for a burnt offering, and they will be forgiven for it, and they will be forgiven, for it was an unintentional sin. Unintentional sins there can be restitution for. And they have corrected it with their offering given to the Lord. Numbers 15:22-25. We are responsible for the way our behavior has affected others. This is true even when we didn't realize we were hurting them. These unintentional sins need to be acknowledged and corrected as soon as we discover them. God forgives all our sins before we are saved, and He will forgive the unintentional sins if we take care of them and never do them again. In growing to adulthood in the Lord and becoming mature, going through that process, however, the unintentional sins need to be accounted for. If you can, if the Lord will, we have to take care of some of the ones you did intentionally, really fast, because the soul that sins shall surely die. Turn also to Leviticus 16:20-22. We have all reason to believe that if we make a list of all the persons we have harmed and become willing to make amends to them all, it is natural for us to hope that the people we have hurt will think better of us once we have sought to make amends with them. We may fear that there are some who will never upgrade their opinions about us, no matter what we do. In reality, they may not, especially if they have chosen to use us as scapegoats. Before the coming of Jesus, the people of Israel were instructed to select a live goat that would carry away their sins. This was symbolic of Jesus, because Jesus became our scapegoat when He took our sins upon Himself. But this is not talking about sins. This is talking about forgiveness of offenses. We cannot forgive people's sins, but we can forgive offenses.
Right, only God can forgive sin. But we have to forgive offenses 70 times 7. Amen? And then what else?
The priest was to place his hands on this goat and confess over it all the sins of the people. But this again is quite something different, so you can't mix it up.
Yeah, something different than what we do today. But the Lord takes all of our sins away, and He does it once and for all. And that's all of our former sins. Then after that, unintentional sins can be forgiven if we acknowledge them and never do them again intentionally. Okay, then what?
This is for sins. Jesus is the only one who can forgive sins. But we are to forgive those who have offended us 70 times 7. Quote, He, the priest, is to lay both of his hands on the goat's head.
This we're talking Old Testament again here. Then what?
and confess over it all the sins and rebellion of the Israelites. In this way he will lay the people's sins on the head of the goat. Then he will send it out into the wilderness, led by a man chosen for this task.
And this is symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ taking all of our sins and drowning them into the wilderness of the sea, the sea of forgetfulness. Then what?
And after the man sets it free in the wilderness, the goat will carry all the people's sins upon itself into a desolate land, unquote. Leviticus 16:21-22.
Okay, let them read that.
Some of the people we have hurt will use us as their scapegoats. Quote, they've sinned against me, so those are the ones who will get my sins taken away from me, because they did me wrong, unquote. Since we have hurt them, they feel justified in sending us away with more than our share of the burden. Instead of doing as the Lord commands, that they have to forgive us for offending them 70 times 7. They unconsciously place the blame for their pain on us, so we can carry it away for them. As their scapegoats, we play the role of removing something they were unable to deal with in any other way. Because of this, they may never welcome us back. We should be prepared for this kind of response and realize that their behavior says more about them than it says about us. You can read more on that in Ecclesiastes chapter 4.
All right, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and that was chapter 23 of the book of Exodus. And we'll be doing 24 later tonight. God bless you till then. Praise the Lord.